Alchemy.
Yo.
Yo. Okay.
What up?
This is still so weird. I don't know why the app doesn't work right now. Like, why it doesn't open in the app?
Yeah, I don't know. We love that. This is definitely is going to be our intro. Anchor, what's going on?
What's happening? Jeez.
We need y'all to step it up, please. I mean, we can't be the only people having that issue, right?
I don't think so. I hope not. Like, that'd be so random if it was just us.
Right. I have to do some Twitter investigation. By the way, a note to everybody listening out there. If you ever want to know what's up, like if you're having a Postmate issue or DoorDash or Netflix or whatever kind of issue, go to Twitter. You can definitely get a lot of information. Thanks. And probably reach somebody from customer service. Anywho, it's Sunday. I don't know if it feels like a Sunday. It's like a holiday weekend, I guess.
Yeah. I have to keep up with all these holidays.
I know. Are you eating anything?
Nah. I had some gummy snacks.
Nice. I will say, you recommended, I was choosing between pizza and a burger last night, and the burger was the right choice. I ate
How did you get louder?
I got louder?
Yeah, like all of a sudden, it was like, hello? Oh, you good. I wasn't expecting it, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't expecting you to be so loud, because it was like quieter, and it was like, hello? I'm weak.
I didn't do anything. Let me know if it does it again.
Okay, keep going, dude.
Okay. Was it scary?
It wasn't scary. It was just, like, surprising, I guess.
Okay, let me know if it happens again. Like, well, you know, I've been having this issue with my AirPods, and then I cleaned them the other day, and everything seemed right with the world, so.
Yeah, like, you're hella in my ear. Like, not in a bad way, just, like, it definitely is a significant change. So I don't know if you, like, shifted your left toe a certain way. I have no fucking clue. But it's just funny, because you weren't this loud, but now you are. So.
Oh, so should I talk quiet?
No, it's like just funny. Time? It's hilarious. Like, I wish you could hear how much it changed. Like, anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if that's a good thing yet. All right. Okay. So, well, maybe you have to turn me down. Maybe I'm just that rambunctious.
I don't know.
I didn't do anything special. Okay. Anyway, so the burger was the right choice. I don't eat much red meat, but I did eat a bacon cheeseburger last night.
How did you feel?
You know, here's the thing. It was so delicious. But it's one of those things that while you're eating it, you know, you're like, it's too good to be good for me.
Right.
So, it was all right, though. It was all right. Like, I mean, I slept good. I thought maybe I'd be tossing and turning. You know, like, my body's like, what is this? Cheese and bacon and a burger, but no. Oh, and mayonnaise.
Whoa.
Anyway, I had had my week's worth of calories last night.
Whoa.
So,
you went all out, too?
I really did. Well, how about we get this, get today's episode popping? We got another guest.
All right, let's get it.
So, let's get it. Yo, it's Simon Illa.
It is Jay.
I had to say the whole Simon Illa. Now I'm paranoid that I'm still loud. Anyway.
But this, no, you're okay. Well, I turned you down, so you might be loud.
Oh, good.
Well,
good.
I turned you down.
This podcast is, when it doesn't have glitches, is brought to you via the Anchor app. Go to anchor.fm to start your own podcast, and maybe somebody will listen to it. Maybe they won't. We cannot make guarantees. But we record, edit, and distribute this podcast via the Anchor app. I use my iPad. Jay calls in on the phone. And then I'm mad loud sometimes. But it happens. Anyway, who produces this podcast?
Oh, just Alchemy LLC.
That is correct. Okay. So as I teased in the intro, and as obviously people know because they read the title of this podcast, we have another guest.
Shit.
I know, right? We're starting to see a trend here of guests, talented guests at that. So this week we have Dante Clay. I didn't know a whole lot about Dante, you know, obviously until I started working with KVZO, and even more so back in, like, I don't know, March or April, when he did a hook on this song called Garden that eventually became a KVZO single in May. And I was like, okay, this guy is dope. Like, good sense of melody, good style. Just, I like what he's doing. And of course, I followed him on Instagram and just was like, okay, he's got something here. Like, and then the other night, he was on one of your beats.
Yeah. Just well, crazy. he's been on our beat.
And oh, that's right.
Been on, yeah. So we have a lot of stuff.
What was
in the atmosphere?
What was the name of that other song that nobody's heard yet? What was it called?
Distractions.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's always fun. You feel like you have some secret information when you know a song is dope and nobody's ever heard it. You know, and you're just like, yeah. Anyway, so I guess without further ado, because, you know, with everybody, you know, all things revealed here, we do these podcasts out of order sometimes. So we've already done the interview. So we could tell you how it went. Did it go good? Did it go bad? I don't know. You tell us, right?
Thanks.
And we're back. And as promised, this is 2 weeks in a row we've had guests on our podcast, Jay.
Yo, we're on a roll.
This is
literally in figurative.
We really are. Yeah, okay, yeah. Bad wheelchair jokes. We have none other than Dante Clay.
What's going on, y'all?
On here with us today. Dante,
doing
how
good,
are you?
Man. How y'all doing?
Yo,
we're
good.
We're good. Well, I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm sorry I answered for you.
it's okay.
So, Dante, like, so I want to, I always start off, you know, when we have people on here, of course, I know you. I probably don't know even that much about you, but what how would you intro yourself to the world? Because I think you would do it better than I would.
Gotcha. Well, my name is Dante Clay, born and raised Atlanta, Georgia, R&B singer, songwriter, you know, just a regular person, you know, just love music, man. That's really about it. Yeah.
Okay. And that doesn't really that. Look, because if y'all have heard Dante on music, on other people's music, yo, look, because I'll say this. I was unaware. Mm-hmm. I admit I was unaware of you, Dante.
Yeah.
Until Vizo had you. Well, I think he had you on some other stuff before Garden, I think.
Yeah.
And I kept asking, like, who is this person? And he's like, Dante. I was like, okay, I like Dante. Whatever he's doing, get him on some song.
Sure.
So, I like what you're doing. There's so many questions I like to ask people, but I guess I could ask the typical question of, like, you know, what is your, you introduce yourself, but what is your origin story? Like, how did you get into music? Are you in a musical family did you grow up around people in the industry?
It's a funny story. So my father's actually a jazz musician. He plays percussion, drums, you know what I'm saying, everything. So I grew up around music, but I didn't take music seriously until after I graduated college. So whole high school and college, I played baseball. So I met Vizo. So how I really got into music was I met Vizo. Vizo was rapping. That was my freshman year in high school. Vizo was a senior in high school, so we was hanging out and stuff. I was always a little bro. So I seen him rapping and stuff. We were always freestyle and do, you know, little funny stuff. So then he graduated, he left, and I just continued to focus on baseball. Then got to college on a full ride baseball scholarship. Was playing everything. I got injured, pulled both my hamstrings, and then I finished my senior year. Then my roommate, my roommate at the time, shout out my guy Myron, he was like, we'll always sing songs around the house and stuff. So I always could sing, but I never really took it serious. You know what I'm saying? So he was like, bro, you need to start writing songs and, you know, just start singing and stuff. I was just like, nah, it's whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I went through a breakup, and I wrote a song called Miami. It was about this girl who I was together with, and she went to Miami, and you know, I seen some things on IG. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna start writing a song. So I wrote the song. I let my cousins hear it and everything. They was like, yeah, bro, you need to start doing it for real. So then I graduated college, worked in the city around the city a couple of times. And then I just really start taking it really serious. You know what I'm saying? I did a couple more songs and stuff, and I just really started taking it serious after that.
Okay. I mean, well, here's the question. So when that was that? What year did you start?
That was like 2018.
Okay, look. Okay, so I'm going to say this. So hearing what you do and what you've done, I'm speaking for myself. I mean, Jay, you can jump in on this. It sounds like you've been doing it a lot longer than that, which is a good thing. Because me hearing it, I'm like, you've been writing since you were like 12 or 13, you know, hooks or whatever, like jumping on people's songs. So that's, I mean, definitely a testament to your natural ability. I feel like if you have a natural gift, it's almost like you can kind of like jump into it at any time in your life.
Yeah,
definitely, you know what I mean? So it's like some people, like, you know, I come from a musical family, just full of musicians on my dad's side. So it's in our blood. But what's weird is I didn't really figure it out till I was like 13, to where I was like, oh, maybe I can do this.
Yes. That's how, I mean, that's how it is.
I was kind of a lazy kid. Yeah. So, but I will say this, but this is what I like about, you know, when you get to talk to people, like, I would never have known you played baseball. I mean, I think maybe you maybe mentioned it to me once before, but that's such an interesting thing that people would never even, you know what I mean? Because I hear your music. People, I think it just says you never know where people come from. You really don't, because, you know, I mean, like, you're like, oh, I played. Because were you trying to go
pro?
Yeah,
so that was the plan. I wanted to go to overseas. So I got injured. Then, I mean, of course, I rehabilitated or whatever. And then I tried out for a team in Australia. But they told me that I was too short, whatever that means. So I'm like, yeah. What? So that was like, you're the best infielder we have at the tryout, but your height is like, we need somebody a little bit taller. I'm like, okay, whatever that means. So when they said that, I just let it go. Like, you know what I'm saying? I've been playing baseball. I was playing baseball for what, 20 years now? I started when I was like 4 or 5. So I'm like, you know what? I want to do something new. So, you know, I just started writing, started doing music, man. That's what, you know what I'm saying?
What? I promise I won't focus on baseball. But I'm intrigued. I won't focus on baseball, but I'm intrigued right now. How tall are you, and what position?
So I'm 5'6" and a half. We got to put the half in there. And I play second base. So I was an infield. Yeah.
Okay. I can see that. Like, because, like, I had the great privilege of knowing Jimmy Rollins.
Shortstop.
He's a great shortstop. Mm-hmm. Good friend of mine. And he's pretty short. No pun intended. But he is, so I can see he could be
very fast. I was not that so much fast, but
he is.
My defense was immaculate. Not to beat myself up, but my defense is way better. Yeah, my defense is way better than my offense. But yeah, they just told me I was just too short. So I was like, okay, well, you know, it is what it is.
You talking to the two right people, because I'm 3'1". Jay, you like 3'4"?
I'm 3'4", yes. We're the shortest ones,
are you? Yeah, for sure.
Look, that's compact. I like to say compact.
Gotcha.
Is, you know, efficient. Sure. Efficient. Well, that's cool to know that. Now, you must have made some heads turn, because you have toured a bit, and who have you toured with, and what do you like about touring? What do you dislike about touring? Because I've seen it from the outside. I've actually been on a couple of short run tours, and, you know, and worked with artists that were on tour, and so I hear the positives and negatives. What is it like from your angle?
So yeah, I toured with I did two tours with Rhapsody. That was also when she did our headlining tour, and she toured with Big Crit. So the first tour I went on was a big, it was Big Chris tour. It was a Rhapsody, Damani Harris, T.I. Son, and Big Crit. And then I did one with, a short run tour with Baby Rose for a couple weeks.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, so for me, I mean, the fun part about it, you know, just going out every night, meeting different people, you know, networking and stuff. Yeah. It's not really a bad part, I would say. Like, I mean, you kind of tired. Like, you get up in the morning, you get to the venue. Like, okay, you wake up in the morning, you drive to the next city, you get to the venue. You know what I'm saying? You eat, you take a nap. You know what I'm saying? After you, like, chill for a minute and you wake up and the show starts. And after the show, you're really just chilling. You can go back to the hotel. You can go out. You know what I'm saying? But you just got to be ready to go to the next city in the morning time. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely fun, bro.
Yeah.
I love it for sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of artists, even though it's somewhat of a grind, especially if you're a performer, it's definitely enjoyable. Now, one of the things, you know, that I really love about it is, like I said, I haven't done it like a proper long tour. Although I did spend 2 weeks on a tour bus because a friend of mine he's been a tour bus driver for years, and he drove on some tours I worked on. But he was always getting me these gigs. Like, this is really weird to say this on a podcast. He told his boss, who is one of the co-owners of PayPal. Wow. This dude just bought a bus and just like he just hangs out on it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you can do that when you
and that's actually how PayPal. I started driving. So like that's what when I was on tour, I was actually driving for Rhapsody. Yeah, really? Driving for Baby Rose. So my cousin, who's my manager. He really put me on. So like, it's a touring company called Big Fantastic that's ran by Christopher Patterson. He's the head guy. Okay. So he called my cousin, was like, look, I need somebody to help Rhapsody out, sell merch. You know what I'm saying? Driving everything. So I was like, you know, I started doing the songs and stuff. I was like, well, I'm trying to get in the game. So let me just, you know, just do this and, you know, get me through the door. So that's how I started.
That's incredible. See, look, you full of stories, man. See, I'm so glad that we made this connection here, because I would have never expected that. I will say this now from going from driving on the tour to performing on the tour. What I was about to, what I really wanted to add in here is that sleeping on a tour bus is some of the best sleep that I've ever gotten in my life, because it's so. Jay, I know you haven't had the privilege of being on a bus yet. No. I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
But sleeping on a tour bus, while it's moving, is the most pleasant thing to me. Because it's like being a baby again. You're in the bunk, and it's kind of moving, and it's a little bit of noise. It'll just knock you out. Like, you just, the best sleep of your life on a tour bus.
And there's nothing else to do but to sleep, so.
That's, no facts. Distractions. You're like, you're not in the house. Like, oh, I could get up and do this, do that. Like, no, you're just sleeping. So moving on to recording. So obviously you say you worked with, Rhapsody, on tour. Who are some other artists that you have collabed with, whether it's writing, recording, you've guest verse, like, whatever.
Writing kind of recording wise, Deontay Hitchcock. Who's based out of Atlanta.
Okay.
Real cool guy. Visor, of course. My guy, Lil Bro Cartier. He's from Atlanta. Heather Victoria, who's from North Carolina. She signed to Night of Wonders label. Jemla, worked with her. I work with this guy named Ian Kelly, who's also signed to Jemla. I know Ninth Wonder. There's a couple artists, man, like here and there for sure. Yep.
Okay, so you're definitely you're making the rounds. I will say that because, like I see you pop up posting things like, "Yo, I was on this song. I was on this song." Plus, you post a lot on social media. Now, Jay and I, we talk a lot about social media. What do you feel like? How do you use social media for you? Because I think it's cool that everybody uses it in kind of their own ways. You know, what is, like, the thing for you? Like, what do you enjoy most about
Most is, like, I can be a regular person, you know what I'm saying? Even though I am an artist. Not to say, like, I'm a big artist, but, you know, you can be yourself, you know what I'm saying? But I also just use it for, you know, promotions and, you know, letting my friends, family, and fans know, like, I'm about to drop this song, or I'm dropping an album, or, and you can stay connected, you know what I'm saying? So I love social media, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So it really helps me out a lot. And you can promote your stuff on IG, on Facebook, on Twitter, you know what I'm saying? So it's real nice.
I'm gonna date okay. myself here. I'm definitely older than y'all. But when I moved to Atlanta in 2008, mm-hmm. I was invited to be on a panel at okay. Georgia State, and I was really grateful because, well, I think it was my manager at the time. She has so much pull, like, just because I was working with her. Shout out to Dee Dee. I just got to do all these cool things. And it struck me, this is when social media first started ramping up, like Twitter was starting to pop mm-hmm. a little more. And I noted on this panel to these young aspiring artists, I said, the great thing about this now is we're entering an era and we're well into it now. And I said, you don't need a label anymore. You're not going to need someone to A&R you, someone to say, you know, let people see this. Don't let people see that. Don't let them hear this. Mm-hmm. Don't let them hear that. And I think it's cool that now you can just share whatever you want. If you want to drop a song, you can drop a song, and you can potentially reach millions of people. If people like you, that's all that
exactly.
matters. So do you feel like, and Jay, please chime in on this one. Because okay. see, now the tough thing is for mm-hmm. Jay and I, you know, being in wheelchairs, sometimes you have to be cautious to make sure that people aren't watching just out of it's a little person in a wheelchair. That's nice. Facts. You know, like, yeah. it has to be legit. Like, oh, they're really doing yeah. some shit, you know, not just. So do you feel like gimmicky things win out more than talent? Or do you feel that at the end of the day, talent's
I feel like at the end of the day, talent will definitely win out. Gimmicky right. things are, it's cool for the moment, I would say. I mean, I don't do them, but, you know, whoever does them teaches on. They're cool for the moment yeah. for the show. Like, oh, it's funny on Instagram, or they said this, they said that. But if your music, if you're not good, or if it's like not, how can I put it? Like a classic vibe, or, you know what I'm saying? Like something that's going to live forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like you're gonna die off. Eventually, we call that microwave music. You know what I'm saying? It's hot for a second, yes. and then after a while, it's gonna cool off. And then, but you know, teachers and some people want to do that. You know what I'm saying? You come in the game, get your money, yep. and then you disappear. That's what some people want to do. But for me, I'm in it for yep. the long game, because I really enjoy and love making music and having the idea, putting it down, having the idea in your head, and watching it come to magic, and having it and mm-hmm. hearing it and how it sounds, like how you had it in your head. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really in love. And some people not in love yeah. with the process, and that's why they don't really last long in the music industry. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I think the gimmick stuff is gonna start dying down eventually.
I think, and I don't mean it. I'm not even saying this is gimmicky, because yeah. it's not. But definitely, we all have. I think with social media, we all have our personalities. The things mm-hmm. that we do. Jay, I don't know if you've seen, Dante, some of your posts in the morning with the very rambunctious character that you have. Wait, what is the character?
Yes, his name is, are you talking about the Spanish guy? Yes, his name is yes. Iván Rodríguez Antonio Matana Reyes.
Okay. Jay, I don't know if you've seen his character yet, but it is like one of the funniest things.
No, I haven't.
But the great thing is, you know, and Jay and I talk yeah. about this a lot, is, okay, and obviously, Dante,
facts.
You're funny. Like, I think, but most creative people I know
yeah.
are funny. You know what I mean? Some kind of, like, either they're very moody mm-hmm. or very funny. It's, you kind of have that weird yeah, bipolar,
yeah. I miss people like
you know,
that.
Thing. That,
sure. yeah.
yeah, exactly. So, but I think that, you know, like, for individuals like Jay and I, we've talked about it, we're like, you know, if people are curious, if something draws mm-hmm. them in, it's what keeps them mm-hmm. in the door. Like, get them in the door, keep them in the door. And you know what I mean? So I think it's just another aspect yeah. of you that is yeah. funny. But I always tell people, you know, have shit Facts. To back it up. Because you can be fun. It's like, you know, it's someone like Jamie Foxx. You know, Jamie Foxx is legendary. He's funny as shit. He can act his ass off. And he can, and I bet people were like, oh, he can't sing. And you hear him sing, you're like, he out-sings most people. It's ridiculous. He's like, it's, so it's like, you never know with people. You never know. Jay, you know me. I always jump on these interviews. Do you have any thoughts or questions you wanted to throw at Dante?
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to know, are you doing this, you know, full-time? Are you making enough money off of what you do full-time, or do you have, like, another job to supplement your income?
Yeah, so right now I'm having to do other jobs and stuff. Like I said, I do work with Big Fantastic, Chris Patterson. So we set up different things around the city and fix up different things. But, you know, I write, you know, so I'm surviving. I'm not complaining, you know. So, but I am doing music full-time, though. I also host at different spots in the city, Blue Cantina in East Atlanta and Blue Cantina in Camp Creek. So I do little side gigs here and there, but you know, just trying to make it out here.
But that's what it is. I think it's important that artists understand that there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? Because I mean, I'm a producer, and I've been doing it over half my life, but I still like I edit audio for people and I edit podcasts and stuff, you know what I mean? Because it allows me to do what I want. Because I would say, you know, unless you have the illusion is people are like, oh, you're in music, you're rich. It's like, no.
That's tough.
Like, yeah, even if you've got records out, people think, well, you're releasing like this song and like this just came out. You had an artist on TV. It's like, yeah, you don't know how this works. Like, you really got to be that top notch.
And it takes time for the money to come in too. Like, it doesn't come like the next. Sometimes it might come that week or next week, but when it comes to the labels and stuff, like it takes months for the, you know what I'm saying, to get the back end or to recoup or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it's just it's a waiting game. But, you know, I'm not in it for the money. I mean, I'm here to, you know, I'm glad that I can get money from it, but I really just love making music. Like, it's my passion for sure.
Yeah. First and foremost, that is really important. And like you said, I think there are people that do, that you want to get in and out, and that's a legitimate thing. I'm not saying you're one of those people. You're definitely not. Jay, what was the question you asked Vizo last week? It's a really good question. Something about artists approaching him, like, or producers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, producers. So I asked Vizo last week, like, How would you want a producer that wants to work with you that doesn't know you? You know what I mean? Unfortunately, not like Simon and I. You know what I mean? That's a plug. No, but on a serious note, how would you want a producer to approach you if they want to work with you?
Yeah, just I mean, Instagram. Going back to the Instagram thing, Instagram definitely you can slide. You know, you can hit me up. You know what I'm saying? I'm really a real cool dude, so I was just like, hit me up. Oh, I want to work. And then it's like, I'll just link up. Let me hear what you got. Let me send me some of your beats. I'll send you some of my songs. You know what I'm saying? I can tell you what my vibe is or what I'm feeling for that week or that month, and then we can just do it like that. And then if you want, I'm saying, the money exchange, we can talk out the prices and everything how you want it, because you are going to get paid. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to jip people. I don't, that people do jip people around the industry. But yeah, so, you know, just ask, just like what you want to do, how you want to link up via email, Instagram. Yeah, real cool. So it's just simple things like that.
I think that's
no.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. Do you communicate? Because one thing I run into as a beat maker and producer, which is my biggest pet peeve, if I send an artist beats, a response would be nice. I know you're probably not like this, but like if you don't plan on using the beat or if you change your mind or whatever, because nobody wants to sit on beats, especially when you make them. You want to send them out to other artists and that kind of stuff. Do you communicate when you're working with producers, like, hey, I'm going to use this beat, or no, I'm not going to use this,
you know, put so on your website. So what I do is, to eliminate that problem, I will have them send me like maybe three. Like a lot of producers send like a whole pack, like 15 beats. I'm not that guy. Yeah, I'm not that guy. So,
yeah,
like, oh, so I'm about to send you 10 beats. Like, I don't go past three. So if I'm trying to work with a producer, send me three, because I can write three. I can write, you know what I'm saying, something to those three. And if I don't like it, then I'm like, okay, well, I'll scratch it and let them know which one I'm going to use or which one I don't use. So that's how I eliminate that problem.
I'm still trying to figure out how you got one of my beats.
No, so
I don't remember,
very funny. I was in the studio with KB. I was at KB studio, and KB had pulled it up.
Yeah.
And we was in there chilling, you know, just talking, conversing, drinking, you know how it goes. And he played it. The vibe. Yeah, yeah. He played it. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. I'm like, who is this? He's like, that's my boy MP. I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying? So we I ended up getting drunk and I just recorded on it. We woke up the next morning. He was like, bro, this is crazy. And I had the whole thing, like, it was a whole like verse, like everything. I was trying to come up with a hook. And then my guy Leek, shout out to Leek, man. Leek came in and he was like, bro, like, you need to chop this up and make this the hook. Like, the first part needs to be the hook. So that's how I started doing it. So it was definitely dope.
That's really dope. And you know, I've said this a million times, maybe not on a podcast, but throughout my career, I've noticed that people that are really talented can write to anything. Facts. When
say it again.
I will, yes. But that is true. Well, like, you know, I tell this story. I was working with an artist, this is probably, 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And they are best friends with a very prominent producer. I'm not going to name drop, but they're friends with them. And my manager at the time said, you need to work with this artist because his best friend is like, when, you know, I knew who he was, obviously. But he was like, you know, this artist, he's so good, like, and he's talented. Like, I think y'all would just vibe together. And I never worked with anybody like this in my career. And he came in, this is when I lived in Philly. And I played him, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 beats. And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, what? He goes, just give me all these. I go, okay. And dude, this guy would come in and do 3 or 4 songs a session. And within about 2-3 weeks, he's like, yo, we had like a whole album basically worth of, and it was all kinds of vibes. He's like, this may not be me, but he had a dope hook. He had a dope verse. He had like, all this, and I was like, and he goes, I just sit in the studio and watch these pros. I watch the pros do it, and they don't have a hard time writing the beat. So I'm not saying it's bad when people have a hard time writing to beats, but when artists, it just separates the people that are naturals from people who have to work at it. By the way, as a producer, I want to be fair. I'm not that kind of producer where I'm just naturally gifted. I've had to work very hard because my beats were totally when I was like 19, 20,
even for me, like, you know? I think I'm okay, you know what I'm saying? But because I've seen better, you know what I'm saying, R&B artists or better just writers in general. But I practice like singing, and because I really couldn't sing at first, but you know, your vocal cords are a muscle, so if you practice, it'll get better and better and better. So I just practice, singing like the harmonies to different songs, like T-Pain will come on. And I'll just start doing the high harmonies or the low harmonies or doing his main vocal, you know what I'm saying? So that's how I really, and being versatile, it comes up from just like growing up in music. So it's like I said, my father is a musician. Funny story, my father's a musician. So when I used to get in trouble in high school or in the school period, he would, my punishment, I would get whooping, of course. He'll whoop my ass. And then my other punishment would be, come to the basement, we're going to sit down here, we're going to listen to jazz music for 3 hours. And I used to hate it. Like, bro, pause, man. Come on, bro. Like, I'm not trying to listen to all this music. But now that I'm older and I'm in the industry, like, I can be like, oh, this sample is from that song or this sample is from that song. So being, you know what I'm saying? And then I also went through like a little rock phase in high school where, I mean, I wasn't like emo or nothing, but, you know, I listened to, you know what I'm saying, 311 and, you know what I'm saying, Green Day, of course, Suicide Machines, you know, just, you know what I'm saying, like, just System of a Down, just different groups and stuff to get, like, get real versatile. So that's, I believe if you really love music, you love all genres of music. You know what I'm saying? Not just rap, not just R&B. I just happen to be an R&B artist, but music, I really just really love music and melody. So if a song has a great melody on it, it's going to attract me within the first 3 seconds. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's one of the first conversations because I think I was on IG live and I was just playing random stuff. And you were like, yo, play 311 or something. I was like, what? Or I can't remember who you asked me to play.
Yeah,
it was. And it didn't really throw me off, but I was pleasantly surprised. You know what I mean? Like, because even this, you know, once again, I mean, social media probably is responsible for this, but the world is getting so small that, you know, you never know what people are listening to. Like, you really don't. I mean, Jay, weren't we just talking about country music last night? We were like, country music is good. Like, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I think people really, I think they really do themselves a disservice by not listening to other genres don't belong to people or any group or whatever. It's like, just listen to everything. What do you like? Like, I love classical music. Classical music is amazing. Like, you know, when I studied classical in college and I studied jazz, blues, and rock, which is hilarious. It was just an excuse to listen to music. You know what I mean? But they're like, oh, your assignment is to listen to the Rolling Stones. You're like, oh, damn. Really? Sorry. You know. All right. So, well, you know, I appreciate your time today, obviously. I want to know, last couple of questions, who is your dream collab? Like, whether it's an artist or a producer, who is the dream collab?
I have two dream collabs. One is my one of my idols growing up, T-Pain. Dream collab for sure.
Yep.
My other dream collab would be with Kid Cudi. Yep. Two guys
you can do that.
Who I feel don't get enough recognition in the game. I feel like T-Pain definitely changed the face of music today, because literally everyone uses auto-tune. And Kid Cudi, he's just, his melodies and how smooth he comes on songs and everything. And it's a different vibe. Like, nobody's doing like the closest person that's doing something close to Cudi is probably Travis Scott, because he's one of his influences as well. But Cudi and T-Pain for sure, definitely.
Okay. And I think it's good to have these dream collabs in mind, because I think you work hard enough, you start finding yourself in rooms with these people. You know what I mean? And you're like, ooh, like, this could be a real possibility. That just comes with manifestation, man. Because I think you were talking about something earlier, and maybe we didn't hit on that word, but, you know, I'm huge on that. I mean, I'm the epitome of, man, if people knew where I came from and what I came from, like, I changed my whole life. Like, it was way different growing up, you know, to where things are now for me. So, the other question we always ask everybody, how can people get a hold of you? Like, what's the best method to hear your music or to just follow you and,
So you definitely can hit me up on social media. Twitter and Instagram is same as Kid Named Clay. It's KIDDNAMEDCLAY. So all my music is going on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal. Just type in Dante Clay. It's going to pop up for sure. Yep.
Okay. Perfect. Well, we appreciate your time. And I got to personally thank you for jumping on that song, Garden of Vizo, because you made that song. Don't tell Vizo I appreciate said that. That, man. Even though this is now public, Vizo's gonna call me like, yo, what?
I appreciate y'all for having me.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll
thanks
be in touch.
For sure.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And still, send over that song. You said you were gonna send it.
I got you. I'm waiting on Vizo to come back in the country, man. I mean, he got the country in Mexico right now, so you know, he got
in Mexico. Lavish,
man. I'm trying to be like here when I grow up. You know what I'm saying? So once he get back,
apparently you're not that tall enough, so we can fight. You know what I mean?
That'll be an IG. That's an IG live way to happen. Talk about it.
Talk about a versus.
That's a versus battle.
For sure. I appreciate y'all for having me, man.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Dante. Take care. All right.
Hey, take care.
I thought that was a really good interview.
Yeah, it was funny.
It's cool what you learn about someone getting to talk to them, you know, and not just, especially if they're in music and if you talk to them about other things. I mean, I don't know if he ever mentioned that he played baseball. But I can see that for Dante. I can see that.
That'd be cool.
Could you imagine him
to play? Could you imagine playing baseball? I feel like.
Oh, could I
would
imagine?
That be a sport you'd play?
Oh yeah, oh
would
yeah.
That be a sport? Okay.
When I was a little kid, I used to play baseball with my friends on my porch. Like I would sit on the ground with a little baseball bat, and my friends would throw like a ball, and I would like hit it and stuff. Well, and I'd pitch to them. Oh, we played baseball. There was no running, but you know.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, there's my own interpretation of baseball. What if you played a sport? What sport would you play? Or have you ever thought about this? I know you're not into sports.
Yeah, not really. Okay. Shit. I feel like basketball would be, like, stereotypical. Okay. But I feel like basketball would be cool. Rugby, though, that looks like a fun sport, but it's, like, aggressive, and I know people be bleeding and shit.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like I would like a rugby, to be in rugby.
I feel like rugby is, like, the NFL of the NFL. It's like the rugby players look at the NFL players and would say, y'all are wimps. Y'all got padding on. Yeah. You've got helmets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just, rugby's a scary sport.
Yeah, shit, it's hella scary.
That's that risk-reward kind of thing.
Yeah, so I'd want to play that shit.
Okay. I can see you playing rugby. You should get a rugby jersey.
Yeah.
I should give you one for Christmas. Yeah.
Yo, you like rugby because you what's our team here?
Oh, it's actually a soccer.
Sock box, sorry. That's
it's all
that's
good.
My bad.
It's okay.
That's how you know I don't know fucking sports okay. At all. I was that's that team with the balls they play.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Yes.
No, you know what though? It's like everybody's got different things they're into. You know what I mean? Somebody can.
Yeah.
Tell me about something and I wouldn't know crap about it. Like,
it
is what it is. But yeah, there's a Major League Soccer at the Atlanta United team. And yes, I do have a jersey, a custom jersey. That's how much I love the team. It says Illa on the back. And then people do think they actually think it's a player. They're like, who is Illa? I'm like, me. By the way, did you know there's an Illa the producer?
Really?
Yep. It's pretty big too. Got like songs with Eminem. Like been working with Scott Storch. Illa the producer. I think he's on Instagram as Illa the producer. But so, see,
what?
The way I look at it though is it's like Lil.
Oh yeah, wow, that person. The
he's
Will
dope.
Of Wall Street.
He's dope. But here's the thing. It's like the Lil thing. You know what I mean? Or Young. It's like you can't put a trademark on it. You know what I mean? Illa. I'm the original, but that's fine. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's wild. Yeah, he does. He just posted a picture with customers. That's wild. I didn't even realize.
Mm-hmm. And I was about to say, if I ever see Scott again, I'd be like, how could you? How could you? I'm kidding. He's
yeah.
dope. Illa is dope. Like, he's ill. Okay. Anyway.
Really had it.
Yeah, that was kind of bad. Anyway. So
it's okay, we'll let you have it. Thank you.
So back to Dante. Dante is super dope. I think that such a young, you know, talented person, you know, that's able to excel that quick. And also I think he showed a good example of, you know, finding a place in the industry, but also like finding your way in. I mean, I didn't know he drove, you know, on tours and it's like I turned
out. Yeah, he was doing his thing.
Right. I wonder if he was, I should have asked him, but I bet he was probably driving and singing at the same time. And somebody was like in the back, like, who is that singing? They're like, that's the driver? Like, hang on a minute.
Look, that'd be kind of funny if that was the case.
It would be, right? That would be like if you worked at a studio and you were like an intern or like you were like answering the phones, but you were making a beat on your laptop while at the front desk. And then somebody walks in and is like, what are you doing? You're like, I'm making this beat. And you play it for them. Next thing you know, you got like a platinum record or something. You know?
Thanks.
to like Jay was working at the front desk at the Hit Factory in Miami, answering phones for minimum wage.
A fucking anyway. Week. That'd be funny.
Who would have walked in though to jump on a beat though? Who's like your like dream collab since we had Dante?
I wanna work with Kehlani.
I think I think you mentioned that before. Yeah.
And then I'd like to work with like Kevin Gates.
Okay.
One time I was in the studio and Sammy, you know the CD?
Mm-hmm.
He was in the studio and I was making beats in the studio. And like some of the people outside, they heard me and they're like, "Yo, you're fire!" And I was so pleased with myself. I met Sammy that day too. But the coolest thing was just the fact that people heard my beats while I was cooking up, and they're like, "Yo, that's fire!" And I was like, "Hey, I felt way better." You know what I mean?
Cause
I I feel like it's kind of a boost because that was my first time. My first time being in the studio, like. To make beats and shit, so I was very happy.
Yeah, no, I get that. I remember when I was over at Zach, used to be Zach, now it's Astro. When I first kind of moved in there, and I was working on some beats, and somebody opened my door, and I turned around, and it was Sean Garrett, and he's like, "Yo, that's funny. You." I was like, "Yeah," because we had met. He's like, "Man, I didn't know this was your room down here." I was like, "Yeah." I mean, he called me Simi. You may just send me some beats, Simi. I was like...
And whatever happened?
I mean, I sent him beats. He's a busy guy, you know what I mean? Like, that's just politics. You know what I mean? Like, I sent him beats, I gave him beats, but who knows? He's got his go-to people, you know what I mean? Never take it personal. So, yeah. You know, happens a lot, but it's all good. Was there anything you were surprised to hear from Dante, or was, I mean, we both know he's dope and he's like just an overall, you know, cool person. Anything that caught you by surprise?
Not really. I mean, just okay. Because again, like a lot of those things seem to be kind of common across the board, you know, other than the fact that what was funny was when he said that song that he recorded, he was actually drunk.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to think, like, dang, how did he get this beat? You know what I'm saying? Because I hadn't sent him anything. You know what I mean? I was like, dang, how you get it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I was trying to, you know, think about, like, how that would be possible. And then when he told the story, I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, too, the fact that, you know, your question to him about how should producers approach him, just like you did with Vito, it's a great question, because I think it was, because you and I talked about this too, you know, you don't want to send artists too many beats. Like, yeah, I mean, obviously if they're buying a beat pack, that's different, but just, because really when I work with artists like Dante, I will only send a handful of beats, you know, like,
yes.
And by the way, I've been working
I send like three to five.
Well, it was like the other day, you and I collabed. You know, by the way, that's something we didn't even talk about yet, but we collabed over Zoom, and that shit was fun as hell.
And KVZo downloaded the beats, by the way.
Yeah, I figured he did. But that was why I concentrated on three beats as well, because that's typically what I do, is, you know, I don't want to give an artist 5, 7, 8, 10 beats. Like, it's too much. Because if they're dope, you can give them three, and they can give you, like, here's the thing, if they don't mess with them, at least you know what they're not doing. So you say, okay, not that style. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But if they mess with them,
I just want to say this, because I need to get this off my chest. Because, you know, I think this podcast sometimes is a good stress reliever. So yes. I have been collaborating with an artist, and you know, they're fire, and they had a song that they were gonna feature on, wanted me to do the beat, right? Mm-hmm. So I made the beat, and I found out that the main person whose song it was chose another producer, right? Now, the problem is not the fact that they're going to use another beat. It's just the fact that they didn't tell me, and I've worked with this artist in the past. You know what I mean? So it's all, that's why I said, you know, to Dante about communicating. Yeah. Because I get, like, if you don't fuck with a beat, that's fine. You know, whatever. But at the same token, just say that. You know what I mean? Like, just be like, hey, I don't really fuck with this beat. We're going to go with somewhere. Or whatever. I don't know. Whatever. However you have to say it. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of frustrating. And the person who was featuring it kind of reminded me of, like, that KB, the situation where he apologized for the his friend or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But she was very apologetic. And was like, yo, I'm sorry. I thought, you know, this individual told you. And she was like, yo, my bad. Like, I really didn't know. And I was like, it's okay. Like, it's not the problem. Like, you don't, if that person didn't want to use the beat, that's okay. It's just kind of, like, weird when you're, like, on social media and then you find out. It's like if you find out, like, someone's cheating on you, right? And you're like, everything's going good. And then you look on someone's fucking story and you're like, who the fuck is this? You know what I mean? Like, it would be weird either way, like, if they told you I'm cheating on you. But at least they told you. You know what I mean? At least you don't
Right, you hear it from them.
You're like, yeah, exactly. Because then it kind of makes it weird, right? Because from a producer and beatmaker standpoint, you understand this. Relationships are very key. You know what I mean? They're very key. And vibes are key. And if you kind of move funny, it makes that, at least for me, and I'm sure you can attest to this, it makes you not really want to work with an individual that much, right? Because it's little things, but like, to some people, it might be like, oh, they just didn't tell you. But that's such a small thing. You know what I mean? It's like if you lie about eating the last piece of cake. Why do you have to lie about that?
Yeah, just fess up to it. Yeah,
you know what I mean. So it kind of comes off as like, if you couldn't tell me that, what else are you not going to be able to tell me that's bigger than it? Because that's not a big deal. It's just a beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the principle of things. Like, letting someone know. You know what I mean? So I just want to put that out there.
I think that people need to learn to not be worried about. I'm not gonna say not to worry about their feelings, but more just be honest. Like it's business. By the way, it's up to you. It's up to you to be hurt by it. Exactly. I know that might be a weird thing to say in the current day and age, but I'm a firm believer of that. If somebody hit me up and said, "Hey, we're not gonna use that beat," okay, yeah, it's disappointing, but that's fine.
Yeah, but then that's it. That's good. I move on.
But because here's the thing, if you don't say anything and you just use someone else's, then you're like, well, fuck, why didn't you just tell me? And maybe I could have given you something that you did like. By the way, I think there's something encouraging about when people go, we didn't go with your song. We went with another one. I've had that happen so many times. But that's how you get better. You're like, okay, well, what was the difference between mine and the one they chose? Now, sometimes it is political. Sometimes it's not. Like, if you got a well-known producer, they're probably going to win out over you.
And that's his nature. I think it was stylistically, like, just the genre. The other person, they were much better at that genre, which is fine. You know, I'm okay with that. I am not, you know, I mean, I'm not like, yo, I'm the fucking master of everything, because I'm not. But it's just a sake of, like, just tell me. You know what I mean? Just be like, yo, I didn't really fuck with this beat. I'm not going to use it. Because this song is going on the radio. So it was going to be a really good opportunity. It was like a major radio station. So, you know, I was like, hey, that's going to be fire. So, again, obviously opportunities come and go. That's whatever it is. I just want to say for anyone that listens to this podcast, just communicate. Like, don't be pushy about it. Yeah, like, don't be being around the bush or, you know, trying to save everybody's feelings. Because it doesn't fucking matter. It's just like, okay, we're not going to use it. Cool. You know, I may be like, oh, well, okay, whatever. And I move on. But, like, it just makes it more too much. It makes it more than it has to be. You know what I mean? And it's not really that big of a deal.
And I think, like I said, whether it's political or creative, whatever the reasoning is, or financial, if somebody picks another artist or another beat or whatever other than what you provided, okay, one, don't take it personal, and two, you can ask yourself questions. That's why you should know the truth, because you can go, well, why didn't they pick mine? Like I said, it could be bullshit. Well, and what I mean by that is, yes, it could be political. Somebody can say, well, my A&R knows so-and-so, and they're trying to hook them. Oh, they'll never admit that, but that stuff does happen. There's politics in this. There's money things in this. There's somebody owed somebody a favor. There's somebody that's got more clout than you. Like, whatever it is, and don't be mad about it. Just talk, like, it's, this place isn't for, it's not for, it's not for children. It's not for childish, it's not for childish behavior. You know, and that means both sides. Like, you're going to be disappointed. But I would rather be disappointed. Like, you know, like I said, when I was about your age, I had been making beats since I was, I don't know, 16, 17. And not until I was about 23. Well, no, I was actually 25. So I've been doing it for a minute. And artists told me how bad my drums were. And they're like, your drums suck. And he was just straight.
Boy,
like,
they can't bring it to life.
And you see, he really told me that in the studio. He's like, your drums really suck. I was like, what?
Yo, an artist told me that my, like, back when I was in college, and I thanked him, bro. Like, later, I thanked him because he was like, your beats sound thin. And I was like, what the fuck do you mean? Like, I got all these fucking sounds in this bitch.
Yep.
What you
That's
mean
how mine were.
Thin, ho? Like, what do you mean?
Now you, just went the other, now you went the total opposite way.
Yeah,
your,
I was
your
like,
beats
what?
Are like thick pudding.
Thick. Yeah, they're thick, ready to
I must be
glide across the. Yeah, so, you know, and at first I didn't understand it because I didn't know about really mixing and none of that or sound selection or making stuff full or whatever. And I'm like, what do you fucking mean? Like, well, I didn't cuss my heart. I just didn't understand it. I thought he was hating because I was like, yo, other people have, like, my beats. Like, what do you fucking mean? Like, anyway.
Right.
So, when I saw him my senior year, right, I believe, I just was like, yo, I want to play some beats because... We, again, he had, like, come before, and I played him, he was like, yo, you've, like, come a long way, and I was like, oh, you know, it was, like, a cool feeling, because I was like, damn, that's always good to hear that you've improved. But, yeah, like, shit, certain shit, you just, you can't take personal, you know what I mean? Like, you can't,
right.
You can't be like, oh, why did this person see my beat, so maybe they do fucking suck, and that's okay, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, maybe they just didn't mess with him, you know, it's like, and some people will, you know, it's, I think what it is...
Everything
is
subjective, too.
Yes, and make what you want. And if you think there's not a problem, but, like, you know, it sounds really cheesy, but Gary Vaynerchuk, obviously Gary V, says something that's wise. He says, the market decides.
Yes.
And that's true. Like, by the way, thin beats may come into style one day.
Yeah.
So maybe people are like, I don't like bass that much, and you'll be out of a job. I'm kidding. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is, and like, either you're making it for the market or you're making it for yourself. By the way, and you might make what is in the market, which is great. But you know, right. you have to accept criticism. You have to.
You have to. Yes.
So, you know, and disappointment. Like I said, but people that can handle disappointment don't survive this business, because as soon as you go, that's unfair. I mean, you know how many times I can say so much unfair shit happens to so many good people.
Oh, yeah. Fuck
and by the way, unfair is subjective, too. Because I've been in situations where at one point I was like, that was unfair. But then later I thought about it and go, you know what? I just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah,
so,
and I always told myself that, too. Like, whenever, like, even today's situation, I'm like, you know what? It just wasn't my time. Like, it wasn't meant for me. Because I always say this to you, like, whatever is meant for you is meant for you. Like, and I know that's also like hella corny to some, maybe.
It is,
but like,
it's true.
Like if it's meant, like that wasn't meant for me, and that's okay. Well, that was meant for that person because they were ready sonically, and I wasn't, and that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, there might be a time next year where maybe, you know, I'm like, damn, I really am good at those style of beats. If you know, I want to pursue it. And now it's my time to do another track. So, you know what I'm saying? So everything comes with timing.
Even if, you know, however people out there believe, you know, even if you say, you know, something's meant for you, can be a little spiritual. But I look at it also this way. It's the same thing. Is you don't have to force it. Like if somebody fucks
with you. No,
you
don't have to force it.
If somebody fucks with you, they fuck with you. And if they don't.
Yeah, you don't have to be like.
You can't, you know. Yeah, it's like a relationship. People always try to force things. Don't force things. Like, let them happen. Let it flow. And if it works, it's like, by the way, it's like me and you working together. Like, we didn't know each other for, you know, most of your life. And then we, you know, linked by a, you know, I think somebody else, even though you had DM'd me, somebody else was like, hey, check out Mini Producer. You know what I mean? And it wasn't like a forced thing. We didn't, you know, you didn't drive me nuts, which is cool.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, you know what I mean? But like anything like that, like even the people I work with, the, you know, artists I have worked with, the artists that you work with people when you're ready. It just happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's how it happens is you work, you get a certain level, then people start noticing and they hear you and then you start attracting other people. And, you know, it's just, you like attracts like. So,
yes.
You know. But anyway, I think I'm all talked out today. I'm going to start losing my voice. I'm thirsty. Not in that kind of way, like the thirsty way. Anyway, by the way, I don't know why I'm saying this, but it's hilarious. One of my friends, like, I will send them random songs, you know? Just like a text, like, hey, I'm listening to this song. And I usually just send them, like, nice stuff. Last night, I sent them WAP. Kind of throw them off a little bit, yeah. Anyway.
I guess it's time to...
Yeah, you know when I talk about... When I break out the WAP, it's time to...
Starting to move on. Yeah.
Anyway, so you know, don't mind.
Where can they find you at on social media?
Well, they can find me Simon Illa everywhere. SimonIlla, and that's MySpace. I started off with MySpace today. TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, everywhere. Instagram, Pornhub, all that.
Hey.
And, and of course, my Instagram lives every night, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern time, and my community app, which you can text me, 404-737-1662. I need, like, a jingle for that. Oh, anyway.
and you can follow me at Mini Producer everywhere on social media. My website is miniproducer.com, where you can purchase beats. And also, we have a live every Thursday at 7 p.m. where we do reviews and shit like that. So,
In on it. Oh, and what about your social media with Pamela?
Oh, yeah. Mela and Jay Life. And also, she has a podcast from me, Product T, where she should be putting some more podcasts on there. So, give it a shot, you know what I mean?
That's a little nudge right there.
Yeah, I'm ready. That's life. So she'll get it.
That's good. Well, anyway, speaking of podcasts, if you want to start a podcast, you can start one. Go to anchor.fm or get the Anchor app. That's right. We record, edit, distribute our podcast every week on the app. That's pretty easy to use when it's functioning properly. And who produces this podcast?
Oh, just Ilky Me LLC.
That is correct. All right, well, it's time to get out of here. I'm gonna go get some pasta. So, it's pasta time. All right, time.
We'll be safe out there.
I will, and share this with everyone, friends, and friends, because we no longer have enemies.
No enemies. Yes.
That's right. All right, y'all have a good week. Talk to y'all soon.
Peace.
Peace.